listener.
Kick Pump acknowledges the traditional owners and custodians of the land in which we're recording this podcast, the Yolukut Wulam clan of the Boon Wurrung, who are part of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respect to their elders, past and present, and extend our respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today. Welcome to the Kick Bump Podcast, your fortnightly D&M on all things motherhood. 1, 2, 3, 4. I am so excited to be in your ears because today's guest, Brooke Jowett, if you don't know her already as our hit trainer on the Kick app, she was also on Australian Survivor twice in 2016 and 2019 and the Challenge Australia. So she would have been on your TVs as well. But today I had her on because around 6 months ago in September last year, she gave birth to Parker, and I haven't seen her in all of that time. So it was also just selfishly a really nice way to catch up with each other and for you guys to just listen in. So look forward to that chat. But before we get into it, I do want to reflect on one thing that I learned from Brooke's chat, and that is how beautifully she spoke about her experience in motherhood. And I think it was really nice because for me, there was so much in what she had to share that I really related to. And I know it's not the same for everyone. And I know everyone's motherhood journey is different and unique. And that's why having all of these different stories shared, you know, whether they're positive or negative ones, it's really important so people feel seen and heard. But I just really loved that I was able to kind of nod along and smile and almost butt in because I was so excited to chat and relate to what she had to say about feeling like she is a new person, but also thinking that is a good thing, you know, that she's almost better. And I certainly feel that my whole entire world has changed since having Harvey, but I love it so much more. And I'm so grateful for so much more since having him. So it was a beautiful chat.
Yeah. I think it's really nice to hear positive stories of childbirth because I think a lot of the stories that we hear are the kind of headline grabbing ones. But I think it's important to remember, and episodes like this are a good reminder, at least for me, that like people give birth all around the world
all the time,
every single day.
Yeah.
Like so many of them are straightforward because I think a lot of people's anxiety, at least my own personal anxiety, part of it is around a childbirth and just hearing all of these terrible stories. But I think it's a good reminder that like it can be okay.
Yeah. And even with the kind of bumps along the road, it's going to be okay and it eventually works out. I agree. The Harvey update I have for you before I do get into that chat with Brooke for you guys to listen to is really positive.
Oh, good.
So he has been sleeping till 6:30 in the earliest, and then some mornings like this morning till 7. And I can't tell you how happy I am. I feel like we've finally had a breakthrough. He's still kind of, like some days he's napping, other days he's not. We're kind of just, it depends on, I suppose, like how his day has been or if he's like coming across really, really tired. But it's not like we don't put him in his room for his nap. It's more just like he might crash on the couch for half an hour or something like that. But most days he's not even going with a nap. And he's just going down a lot easier at a pretty reasonable time. And we've brought back in the sheep clock, which I've mentioned on the podcast before. It's called, I think it's called Zuzu Sam the Sheep. And because a lot of people ask me about it. And it's got quite a few different settings. And the one that we've got it on at the moment is that it goes green when it's like technically time to get up. And it's red when it's time to go to sleep. But it doesn't actually stay either of those colors for much longer than like 10 minutes. So the setting we used to have it on was that like all night it was red. And then once it was green in the morning, it was just green. And what's happening now is it's going green at 6:30, which sometimes if he's in a really, really light sleep or if he's just lying there alert, that like even it going green will wake him up and he'll just get up. And it's almost like a silent alarm clock for him. But if he's in a deep sleep like this morning, it'll go green. And then as he's tossing and turning, the green light's not there anymore. So it could be any time in his mind. And so he'll just kind of like keep sleeping, yeah. Which has been amazing. And even on the mornings that he's woken up before it's gone green, I've like captured footage and gone back and seen him just kind of sitting up, looking at it, waiting for it to turn green, and the excitement on his face when it turns green, not just because it's like time to start his day, but how proud he is that he's staying there. And only calling out to us after that. It is just the most gorgeous thing. And it's been probably the last 2.5 weeks straight now of like every single morning at working. So it's definitely an awesome routine. And what it's allowed me to do, which is kind of what I really wanted to share today, was something that I'd really recommend, even if you do have an early riser and even if you are in the trenches with it, with their sleep. I have found that putting my alarm on in the morning, and again, if you've got an early riser, that might mean putting your alarm on at 5:30. For me, I was putting my alarm on at 5:45, but now that he's sleeping till 6:30, I'm putting it on at 6. So it feels like a little bit more of a reasonable time to put my alarm on. And all I'm doing with that is like trying to give myself at least 10 minutes to myself in the morning to wake up on my own terms. And even though he's not like scream crying or anything, just hearing mama, mama in the morning, it's like a different feeling to an alarm that you've like intentionally set with an intention to get up for the day. And I'm trying this new morning routine where I'm doing a bit of breath work or a meditation or something guided like that, something light, not necessarily even using that time for a workout, but if I'm really feeling it, I will, or if I've got more time, I absolutely will squeeze in some movement. But just that time to have some water, do some journaling, have that time to myself. And what's happening is then when he is getting up, I'm like alert and I'm ready and I'm not like a zombie for the first half an hour of him being awake. So I really do recommend it. It definitely does feel weird and it kind of feels counterproductive at first because you're thinking, well, I'm already like struggling to get my sleep and they're not sleeping. So like, why would I do that? And look, if you're up all night, like maybe not at that stage, but if you're kind of where I was where they're waking up anytime between 5:45 and 6 and, you know, you can get to bed at a reasonable hour most nights that you'll still at least get like 6.5 hours maybe. And my body clock's kind of used to that now. So if I get anything more than that, I'm like, sweet. But I do find that even those mornings when my alarm goes off and I'm so tempted to just roll over and ignore it and go back to sleep, I don't regret it. Like I never regret actually getting up and doing the thing. So yeah, if you've been thinking about implementing a morning routine, even with an early riser, I've been doing it and I feel so much better for it. And it doesn't have to be much and it can look like whatever you want it to look like. But just having that time before they're awake, it's made the world a difference. But that is it for me. And now it's time for Brooke. And I really hope you guys enjoy this chat as much as I did.
Hi, Steffi.
Oh, I'm so excited to see you. We just had a bit of a cuddle then. I like didn't really want to let you go because it's been a while.
It feels like a very long time. And we were just saying, like, how are we mums now? Like,
I know.
It's just, it's wild.
It's another world, isn't it?
It is.
Welcome to it.
I know. Help me.
You gave birth to Parker in September last year.
I did. She's almost 6 months now. She's adorable. Time has flown.
Oh,
it has
absolutely.
Gone so quick. And I feel like I've just been trying to soak it all up. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm exhausted. Can we just like fast forward to the part where you can look after yourself? But no, she's just an absolute cutie pie.
It is true. Like you find yourself kind of looking forward to each new leap or phase that they go through. But then it's also hard though, because I feel like you master a phase and then before you know it,
it's changed.
Changed. And you're like, shit.
I know. It is
catch
so
up.
Hard, especially with the sleeping. I'm like, we have got this sorted.
Yeah.
And then it's like she hits 4 months. All of a sudden I'm like, okay, I have no idea what I'm doing anymore.
Yeah.
It's literally back to the start.
It's so true. Well, they like to keep us on our toes.
They do.
Would love to start from the very beginning if you're up for it. I would love to, because I haven't chatted to you about your birth. I don't know how, I mean, I know snippets from like what you've shared, but
yeah.
I would just love to hear as much as you feel comfortable.
The birth story. Absolutely. I was just saying, this is like therapy for me. I haven't actually relived it yet in my mind. I've kind of like put it in a little basket, being like locked away.
Be a positive experience.
So if I start crying, no, it was overall, it was a very positive experience.
Okay.
I'm one of the very lucky ones. So everything happened quite naturally for me. So how did it start? It was a Tuesday. I had been feeling like a few little things going on for a few days.
And are you full term?
I was 39 weeks.
Yeah.
So I always had a little inkling that she was going to come early.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so I started feeling a little bit of pain for a few days before. I'm like, this might be happening. It was my niece's birthday. I went to the farm and I was sitting there in front of my family being like, I think something's happening. So anyway, just played happy families there, pretended nothing was going on because I wanted to keep it all hush hush. And then a few days later, I was like, okay, these are real contractions now. Like I was in a lot of pain at this point. So I'm bouncing around. Chris was amazing. Like he was just putting packs on my back the entire time, giving me water. And I was just crunched over this like ball for a very long time and it ramped up so much. So I was like, okay, time to go to hospital. So we went to hospital. It was just before midnight, I think. And they were like, you're only 3 centimeters dilated. You can either stay here or we would suggest going home.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really thought I was giving the giving birth in the next half hour. Like I thought I was so close.
Yeah. And how long it had been going for, do you reckon?
I think I had about 17 hours of contractions before this. Like I was in a lot of pain overnight. I hadn't slept.
Yeah.
Nothing was soothing me at this point. So anyway, I went back home, sat down on the couch and I was like, okay, I'll have a shower to try and like make myself feel better. Had a shower, went back to the couch and my waters broke. So Chris literally just jumped back into bed and I was like, babe, I think we got to go. And it was all over our brand new couch, like our nice couch.
Do you have that couch anymore?
Oh, yeah, we do.
You do?
My mum cleaned it.
Oh, my God, amazing.
I know. So, yeah, not ideal. Very nice and clean now. But, yeah, so body, like waters broke, went into hospital. I can't even remember the drive there. I don't know how I got into the room. I've got videos and photos and stuff that Chris has taken and I just have no recollection of it. So when I got to the hospital, all the pain, like everyone's always said to me, you feel that like when you're pushing, like you've got the urge, like you feel like you need to poop.
Yeah.
I felt all of the pain. All the contractions were in my bum. Like I had no pain in my stomach.
Yeah.
Everything from the second my contractions start were in my butt.
Yeah. So you were like, I'm 100% going to shit myself.
I was like, I'm going to shit myself. And I was, it was so horrible because my midwife is a kick girl. And I went in and she was like, I'm so sorry, I'm fangirling here. And I was like, girl, your sister, you're about to see a lot more of me than me doing my workouts. If she's listening to this, you did an amazing job. Yeah. Thank you so much. But yeah, so I was like, okay, I'm feeling in my butt. I'm going to shit myself in front of my kid girls.
Yeah.
And it was a lot. It was a very long process at that time because they had checked that I was dilated about midnight.
Yeah,
they were like, usually you have to wait another 9 or 10 hours before checking again.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point I was like, guys, I can I feel like the baby's going to come. And so they actually got the head midwife to come and she's like, look, if she really feels like it's happening, we should check again, again sooner. And as soon as they checked, they were like, no wonder you're in a lot of pain. Her head is like right there.
Oh, wow.
I know. So at this point I was like, give me painkillers, give me the epidural. But I was so close to having it. So it was just like, we've got to get this baby out, start pushing. But yeah, just a lot of pain in the butt.
Yep.
Heaps of pain in the butt. But the relief once that had to pass, it was only pushed for about 50 odd minutes.
Yep.
But wowee.
Yeah.
Women.
Yeah. It's insane, isn't it?
It is on another level.
I kind of enjoyed the pushing. I mean, mind you, I ended up having an epidural because kind of like you, I was in active labor for quite a long time and it just got to a point where I was like falling asleep between contractions and my obstetrician was like, I know you didn't want one. Like I know you wanted to be active and you have been on your feet and like in and out of the shower this whole time. You've done amazing, but you're still like 3 centimeters dilated. Like it's not happening.
Like give me that epi.
So, but I didn't like do the extra pumping of it. So I feel like by the time pushing came, I definitely like took away some of the pain, no doubt.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could feel everything and it was just the most amazing relief.
Wasn't it?
You know?
Once the head was out and I'm like, oh, then they're like, no, you still have to keep pushing. I'm like, oh, she's here. It's like, no, a little more. But wow, like the most incredible experience. And I like, Chris isn't a crier and I was like, he's not going to cry and it's really going to piss me off because I really wanted him to cry. And I looked at him and he was like sobbing and then I was sobbing and she was screaming. She screamed straight away.
Yeah,
so
that's the best sound though.
That was lovely to hear.
Yeah. Oh, and then how long did you get to have her on your chest for a little bit?
Yeah, quite a while. Yeah, nice. So she just hung out on me for a while. Then she kind of crawled away to the boob and I had no idea what I was doing. It's just funny, just like flopping your boobs around hoping for the best.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that first part was really beautiful.
Oh, I'm so happy for
you. So I had a lovely birth. It was the few days later where I found out that I had an infection that
kind
of shook things up. No, so I didn't have any tears, which is amazing. I think I had one or two grazes, but I didn't feel anything in terms of that.
No stitches or anything like
that. No stitches. But they did seem a little lost on whether or not they had all of my placenta.
Oh.
So I, as soon as I had Parker, I had a doctor in there with like metal things, snipping things, like trying to get all the membranes out and things.
Yeah, right.
Awful. But I was just so obsessed with having my baby. And it was just like, do what you had to do. Three people up in there just working on it. I'm like, oh, I used to be so shy about like anyone down there.
I know. Now it's like, whatever.
Who's next?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. So true.
So funny. But so 3 days after I had her, I started to get, I had a little bit of a cold when I had Parker and I was like, oh, I'm getting a bit more sick.
Mm.
But it got to the point where I was like severely coughing every few seconds, couldn't talk without coughing. I woke up and I had like really bad chills and body aches and I toughed it out for about a day or two.
Mm.
And then I went into Chris's office and I was like, something's not right. And like, I know you're meant to feel shit after having a baby, but like, I feel really
kind of shit. Yeah.
And I just started bawling my eyes out being like, something's wrong. And then an hour later I was on the toilet and a giant piece of placenta fell out.
No way.
Yeah.
What?
A huge chunk of placenta that had obviously been lodged at the back. And I thought it was a blood clot. So I was like, we need to go to hospital. I've got a blood clot. So I took a photo of it and we went in and straight away they were like, we'll be back. And they came rushing in with like an IV.
I didn't even know that could happen.
Neither did I. I was so, like, I'm still like triggered by it. When I sit on the toilet, I'm like, oh, gross.
Yeah.
But it was like a tennis ball size of placenta falling out into the toilet. And I was like, something's not right. And then I went in, was on the drip straight away.
Yeah.
While I'm trying to hold this 2 day, 3 day old baby. And I was like, this is not how I pictured my first few days. But yeah, I was on the drip for quite a while, started to slowly get better with antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that might have been the reason why I got a prolapse because I was coughing so much the entire time after having her that I think all the pressure on my pelvic floor just couldn't really handle it.
Oh, God. So how long postpartum were you when you found out you had a prolapse and like did you have symptoms that made you want to get it checked out?
Yeah. So I kind of like I've got an understanding of prolapse and the symptoms and what you can feel and things. And I'd say about a week to a week and a half after giving birth, I had a really dragging feeling towards afternoons. You'd know about that. Yep. But I was just like, this doesn't feel right. And it definitely got worse as the day kind of went on.
Mm.
So it was like gravity kind of taking its toll.
Yeah.
And I got a mirror out and I was like, that looks like the pictures I've seen.
Yeah.
So I booked straight in to see the pelvic floor physio and I was right. Like I had a stage 2 anterior bladder prolapse.
Yeah.
Which obviously like it shook me. I was like, how? Like I've been fit. I've done
doing
all the right
pelvic
things.
Floor exercises.
I've done the Kegels.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I've always had an overactive pelvic floor. So I don't know if that might have played a role in it as well, but definitely the coughing and the just constant pressure post-bub.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We love it.
Oh, don't we? I reckon I actually can't remember. I feel like I put the details to the back of my mind and wanted to forget about it. But mine was definitely bladder prolapse as well. And it's actually, it's not funny. I always use that term when things aren't funny, but I actually do want to go and get an internal check again because it's one of those things that like you can work through and it depends on the level of prolapse you have, of course. So definitely recommend going and speaking to a women's health physio about it and getting a check for all the proper information. But from what I know of it, it's if for the level that we had at least, like you can kind of do some rehab and get back on top of it. But I also think what I then did, kind of like what I did with my braces and my retainer, is I wore my retainer for a short amount of time and then I kind of forgot about it and I ended up needing work again later on. So I feel like I'm at that stage now where it's like maybe I stopped with some of the stuff a little bit too early. And
it's easy
so
to do.
Active as well.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel like it's not definitely not the same sensation, definitely not to the same degree, but I'm like something's quite right.
It's just not sitting right. You can kind of feel it though, like especially in the early days when it was my pelvic floor was really shot and the prolapse was really bad. I kind of felt like there was a space inside me. Like I felt like there was a gap and like things were kind of bouncing where they shouldn't be bouncing. There was like an empty space in my kind of belly vaginal region.
Mm.
So that kind of, it's gotten better with time, but that was something that I'm like, this just feels weird. Like I feel like a different body.
Yeah.
And it took a while to kind of adjust.
Yeah. It's so true.
It's weird.
What was your first poo like?
Oh my God. I can't even remember. I just remember that I, at this point, Chris was so like, we've never really farted in front of each other, yeah, Chris and I. Like, we're just not a farty couple or things like that. Like, we don't share all the gross stuff.
Yeah.
At this point, Chris is, like, fishing my placenta out of the toilet bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, I had to report to him on everything that I did. I'm like, I just did my first poo. I don't think it was as bad as I had in my head.
Yeah.
Because everyone had told me just wait for that first poo. It wasn't that bad. But what I had an issue with was contracting and releasing my butt. And I think all the contractions being in my bum through the birth are going to either numbed me or something, but I lost control.
Yeah.
And it was the weirdest thing because it's like I would go, but then I couldn't finish properly.
Yeah. I get what you mean. It's so true, isn't
it? It's so weird.
You have to relearn how to use those things
downstairs.
Yeah,
you really do though. And it took a while. Like I think it took a week or two for me to actually get proper control back.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally normal. I think particularly with the bladder prolapse, like what I learned with my bladder prolapse was that it was like pushing against like my, what's the?
Vaginal wall?
No, for pooing.
Oh, your rectum.
Yeah. Like it was like pushing against that. So it made that sensation even like weirder.
Weirder. Yeah.
Gosh, we love it. We love TMI on this podcast.
I know. We overshare everyone.
Exactly. 1, 2, 3, 4. I really wanted to get you on, obviously outside of talking about prolapse, because it's super important that like people understand and know about it. So I just feel like it can't be spoken about enough because I, even as someone who read a lot of books, I've had these podcasts, I've listened to different things, I think I'd heard of prolapse, but I didn't know enough about it.
Mm-hmm.
And really the only reason why I ended up getting checked was because I was fortunate enough to have connection with Ash, our physio, and I was telling her some of the symptoms that I was having early postpartum and she recommended that I went and saw it.
Yeah.
So like if I didn't have Ash, I don't know, maybe I would have jumped on Google or something, but I just feel like some of those sensations or those symptoms that you were talking about, like the dragging, that was the same with me. That was the biggest one. It's super important to be aware of because it's so much better to catch it earlier. That was one thing that I did learn was like the earlier you can kind of get on top of it, particularly if you've got like a further stage as well. It's like super serious and really important. Some of it's actually not reversible if it's not treated like quite quickly. So it's really important.
Exactly. Especially like for me, I was so eager to get back into exercise. Yeah. Like I was probably going to, you know, do a little sneaky and do it a bit sooner than I could. But as soon as I felt that feeling, I was like, no, I'm going back. I'm just really want to work on the foundations first because it felt like it could definitely get worse. And I'm glad that I got to it when I did. Like I was like, I could wait to my 6-week check, but I think I went week 2, maybe few weeks after. And I was like, help, something's not right. And I'm really glad I did. And anyone listening, like if you do, so in terms of what I felt, it kind of felt to me like I had a tampon half in. That's how I explain it to people. Like it feels like there was something there, but nothing had fallen out of me. I had a stage 2, which means it was still sitting within just my really body, low. Which is just really low. And it definitely got worse as the day got on. Afternoons were really bad. Just like walking in little bits and bobs, just like, I can feel this.
Yeah.
It literally feels like I forgot to take a tampon out.
Yeah, I agree. It's that sensation.
It's a very odd feeling. It kind of makes you feel like you have to walk like a penguin. Like I was like, am I walking
further
weird?
Apart?
So true. It does. Even though obviously there's nothing there, it's just that feeling. So if you have any feelings like that, I would suggest go see your pelvic floor physio. Don't worry about waiting to your 6 weeks. Get in soon. And there's definitely ways, like I was embarrassed to talk about it at the start. Like even to tell Chris, I was like, oh, how do I tell him that I've like got a prolapse and things? And I did a post on Instagram and I literally remember posting it and running into Chris being like, do I delete it? Because I just said I had a prolapse and I was like, is this like the most mortifying, embarrassing thing?
No.
Because literally no one talks about it. And I had so many DMs being like, me too. Thank you so much for sharing. I've had the exact same thing. Try this, try that. And it was so nice because I was like, okay, I'm not this alien person, this is something very common. And I think I think it's like over 50% of women do experience it. I don't know the stat, but I know 100%. It's a very, very high percentage.
I agree. I remember hearing it and it was a very high percentage. And it's irregardless of whether you have a vaginal birth or a cesarean because regardless, you're still carrying so much weight in that like lower part. So even if you have a cesarean, it's still important if you have those same symptoms to get checked. I mean, the best result is that you get checked and they say there's nothing wrong.
Exactly. So that's great. Is a win.
It's a great thing. But no, I did want to talk about exercise with you because how did you go during your pregnancy? Like, did you feel pretty well to stay fairly active? Because I know, even as you said before, you were like keen to get back into it. It's like a part of who you are. Movement is something that you enjoy and just mentally makes you feel amazing. And I can so relate to that. Was there parts of your pregnancy where you had to take a break or like completely change your routine? And how were you mentally through that stage?
Oh, absolutely. So I love my running.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that. And I think I ran up until about 26 weeks and I felt pretty good. And then after 26 weeks, it just stopped feeling right.
Yeah.
So I did kind of just do like slower jogs and things like that. But even that was like making me twitch. I was like, I need to run fast. Like I'm very glad that I kind of trusted my body at that time. Because I think maybe like there was issues in my pelvic floor from the beginning, from the pressure. I don't know. But I think definitely trust your body. In terms of like core is another thing that I love, and HIIT. Like obviously I'm the kick girl.
Yeah, yeah.
I love HIIT, and I couldn't do the high knees, the jumps, the squat jumps, all that fun stuff that I actually get like a really good thrill from. So I completely changed it, kind of went to more Pilates based, which is amazing because I use kick all the time, little kick promotion there. No, it was amazing. And I kind of discovered other ways that I loved moving my body at the same time. So it was a negative in a way because I missed doing, you know, the high intensity stuff, but I found like a more peaceful kind of way to move my body and I still managed to get it done. And it still gives you a thrill. And even 10, 15 minutes, I was like, look what I did.
Yeah.
I'm like 30 weeks pregnant. I still managed to get this done. And even just towards the end, it was little walks and that would be enough for me.
Oh, yeah. I think I couldn't go over a kilometre by the end.
Yeah.
Oh, my hip stuff.
Same. God. The pelvic girdle pain was real.
So bad.
Oh, it was awful towards the end especially.
Yeah.
So I think you just have to trust your body. Mm. Like your body does know. It's a new experience, but your body still can tell you what feels right and what doesn't. And you just have to listen to it.
So 6 months postpartum and you have got back into running.
I have.
How has that been for you?
It has been a roller coaster for sure. The first run I did was like very, very slow, 30 seconds on, 90 seconds off, like little bits and bobs, like interval wise. I peed my pants. I still pee my pants, to be honest.
Yep.
It was very real, especially when I was going downhill, because I've got the anterior bladder prolapse, the pressure would be a lot worse. And it's gotten better with time, but I had to get a pessary put in before I returned to exercise. Yep. So if you're listening and you don't know what a pessary is, I had no idea what it was until someone slid into my DMs after my prolapse post being like, try a pessary. And my pelvic floor physio suggested it as well because she knew I was itching to get back to exercise.
Moving,
and she's like, if you don't look at this, we can like assess you in 6 months to 12 months to see if you can run again. And I was like, oh
that sounds like a really long time.
So what it is, it's like a silicone ring and it's like quite sturdy and you kind of have to pinch it to put it up and it springs into place. Gives you a little bit of a shock once you put it in, it just holds up your pelvic floor muscles. So it took me a few weeks to adjust to it. It kind of, I don't know if I had it in right. It was a bit like trying to get used to it in my body. Now I don't even know that it's in. Like I would completely forget. And it's done wonders. I don't have any of the dragging feeling anymore. I can run. It's helped with the incontinence when I run.
Yeah.
And I don't have it in the back of my mind being like, am I making my pelvic floor worse by doing this? Because I definitely did. And I was holding back a lot and just really reserved on what I felt comfortable doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the pessary has definitely helped me quite a lot.
That's amazing. And do you just pop it in like before? Like how does it work?
It's kind of like a tampon. So you'd had to take it out every week or two and clean it and stuff. But now the new research has said if you're a pelvic floor physio, probably see them first. But what I have heard from my pelvic floor physio is you can keep it in now for 6 months before taking it out. And you just forget that it's in there, which is amazing. Like I wouldn't even know.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Can you have sex with it?
You can.
Okay.
You meant
feel it. You can take it
out. You can feel it. You can feel it if you're it's close enough to feel.
Yeah.
But apparently it's fine.
Okay.
But also you can take it out before sex if you like. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the taking it in and out part is something I'm still not quite used to. Like, yeah. I feel like that part, it's just like the popping up part that gives me a little bit of a shock.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I haven't had one, but I'm like.
Yeah. Clenching as I'm saying this. But trust me, it really has done wonders. It took a little while to get used to, and it's been the best thing that
I've
done.
And how long do they suggest that you use them for?
Well, for me, I'm probably going to keep it until my next bub.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have it in while you're pregnant, or you might need to take it out before then.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to play it safe, I think, because, the exercise that I might do afterwards might make it worse pelvic floor-wise. So I think safe is best for me. And if I have to keep this little circle of love inside my vajoots, then so be it.
I love that circle of love in your vajoots. You mentioned before that, like, you had to try new movements, but you actually ended up, like, some of the stuff that you discovered you love. What's your routine look like now?
Kika, I love you. Or mama. Yeah. I have been doing so many of Kika's classes.
They're like, fiery, aren't they?
They are fiery, but it's, like, fiery without having to jump around too much.
Yeah.
So I've found that to be really, really good for
it's
me.
It's true. You kind of get that same kind of endorphin high, like a HIIT workout.
You do. Like, it really, really burns. So I've been loving that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And reformer. I've been doing quite a bit of reformer and my running.
Yeah.
So I do really want to get back into lifting heavier weights.
Yeah.
That's something that I've really missed, I think.
All in good time.
Yeah, but I found, like, my muscles are so much weaker than they were pre-bub. Like, I am excited to kind of build that strength up, and I'm feeling like a little bit of a twig right now. Breastfeeding has taken a lot out of me.
Yeah.
I've lost a lot of my muscles. So, yeah, I'm a bit eager to get back into the
feel
weights.
Strong again.
Yeah.
It's funny because I remember feeling like that exactly where you are right now. And then I think it was sometime after the first year when I started to not only regain that strength, but you're also carrying your baby around all the time. So you end up having, like, the best upper body strength. And I was like, fuck, I feel stronger than I've ever been.
I was thinking about that yesterday, but I always hold her in one arm. And I'm like, I'm going to be so lopsided. So now it's just jacked on my left side. So I'm going to definitely have to, like, even that up on my right side for a little while.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah.
And just tell us about her. Tell us about baby Parker. What's she like?
Oh, she's so funny. I feel like, so the first 4 months, it's been tricky because she's been a really spewy baby. Yeah. Like, she's had reflux, and we've been trying to get on top of that because every meal that I'd feed her, it would just come straight back up. And I was like, this child's not going to gain weight. And I was getting really nervous about it. And we saw a pediatrician, and in the end, he was like, she's healthy. She's like, yes, she's like small percentile and whatever. She's got a big head. We love that for her. But he was just like, just relax. The more you stress, the worse it's going to be. And, like, honestly, he's like, she's healthy. So don't even worry about the numbers.
Yeah.
And since that appointment, it's been a lot better. And
it's like, you've got permission.
Yeah. And I feel like now I know she's safe. And now I look at her and I'm like, I'm not seeing, like, a tiny child that's struggling to grow. I'm seeing her grow and, like, get taller. And it's just changed the way I look at her. And she is definitely growing. Like, she's growing way too fast. But now that she's kind of on top of her, like, tummy issues and things, her personality is really starting to show. And she's so funny. Like, I'm just, like, so obsessed with her.
Oh, I love it.
It's so hard not to, like, go out and be like, look at my baby. Like,
oh, it's so hard.
If I walk past people and they don't stare at her, I'm like, Chris, why aren't they looking at her? Like, she's so cute today. Like, but it's just those mum goggles. I'm like, maybe 100%. She's not that cute and I'm just obsessed with her.
I mean, it's probably partly that.
It's a bit of that.
It is funny, isn't it? And I always find myself as well, like, I'll crave some alone time or, like, a night with my girlfriends, and I'll find that half the time I'm thinking about Harvey or, like, wanting to bring him up in conversation.
I know,
like,
you're waiting for someone to ask. It's so sad.
That doesn't go away. Well, not for me anyway.
It's sweet though. Like, it's sweet but so sad. Like, you just sit there being like, hey, like, because you kind of feel like it's your everything now.
Yeah.
Like, yes, you kind of, like, lost the old you, but it's like, I've got this new part of me that's, like, exciting.
I'm
and
so happy for you.
It's really lovely. Like, I go outside now and I'm like, look at that tree. Look at that helicopter. Like, because I'm trying to excite her, but I'm like, to me now, I'm like, oh, look
present.
At that. Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing. Like, I'm enjoying, like, I'm feeling much more content and, like, happy with the simple things in life now because of her.
I completely agree.
It's a nice part of motherhood, I think, for sure.
Mm. Is there any parts of motherhood you haven't necessarily enjoyed?
Sleeping. The sleeping part has been something that's been a bit of a ride for us. She's never been awful, but I've been a girl that has loved my sleep. Like, 8 to 10 hours was me before bug.
Don't know if you'll ever get that back.
I'm never going to. I'm never going to get that back. Yeah. And I thought I'd struggle a little bit more, but yeah. because I had a really, like, my insomnia during pregnancy kind of helped me prepare for that.
It's weird, isn't it, how it does that?
It does. It
Everyone's
really...
like, try and get as much rest as you can. And you're yeah. like, well, I would love to, but I'm awake all night and I don't know why.
There's an alien kicking me yeah. from the inside. But no, I think the sleep's definitely been the hardest, but I've adjusted now. And I find, like, if I have a 4 or 5 hour sleep, I feel amazing. Mm. Like, I feel energized, which is great.
Mm.
And what else? Definitely the feeding stuff has been a bit tricky. Like, yeah. trying to get on top of that, not know, like, knowing what the right thing to do is when she can't tell me. Like, mm. I actually think we went 2 or 3 weeks early with Parker in the first few weeks. We were like, why is she crying all the time? And someone's like, do you burp her? And I was like, oh. No, yeah, like
so.
No one told me yet to do that.
I agree.
Like that was obviously something that was so important, yeah. and it's just something that just completely slipped our mind. And we're like, "Why is she crying all the time?" Yeah. And this poor thing is just stuck with burps in her yeah. in her tummy.
But even then, there's like 10 different ways to burp.
I know.
Like what?
There's just so many different opinions. Like so I've kind of just blocked it all out now, yeah. and I'm like. If she's happy, she's like, we're working through it. Every day's, you know, a learning little curve for us.
It's interesting. I feel like you, especially in the early days, you do genuinely question yourself and like have to get an expert's opinion and everything.
Yep.
And there's still definitely days where I'll like text his pediatrician and just be like, so this has happened.
Is this normal?
But it's, I think what you learn and what I've learned anyway is your intuition
yeah.
is like literally always right.
It
like
is.
Whatever you thought was probably going to be right will end up being what the practitioner ends up telling
sure.
you to do.
Yeah.
Which is insane. I feel like that intuition surprised me.
It is really strong, isn't it? Like it's something that you don't prepare yourself for. But like I've learned to trust myself and I feel like everything with her has become a lot smoother.
Yeah.
Because beforehand we were like calling the maternal health yeah. hotline every 5 seconds. Every midwife says something different.
Yeah,
like that was
too.
Really tricky because we'd go to one and we'd feel confident coming out of that and then we'd see someone else the next day and they'd say something completely different.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, let's just block everyone out.
What works for you?
See what works for us, what works for Parker. And it's working now.
Mm.
Yeah.
And how have you and Chris been through it?
Very good. I love seeing him be a dad and he works from home, which is
that's awesome.
The best thing for me because yeah. like if I need a break, it's like knocking on his little office door yeah. being like, hey, babe, can you have her?
I'm going to put her on the bouncer like, yeah. for the next half an hour next to your feet.
I'm gone.
Sorry.
Yeah. And Chris is someone who's very active as well. So he knows how important it is for me to stay active and vice versa. So we both have our time. And in the early days, it's like, okay, you have 45 minutes here. I'll have 45 minutes. Now that she's a bit more hands-on, it's like you take 10, yeah. I'll take 10.
Yeah.
But we take a little bit of time each and it's really helpful having him around for that for sure.
Oh, amazing.
And now it's just like we both like, yes, everything we talk about is Parker.
Yeah.
And like we went for dinner just us and it's like, what do we talk about?
Yeah.
Like, what do I say to you?
How much do we love it?
Yeah. It's like, I love it so much. But it brings you closer for sure.
Yeah.
And we haven't had any quarrels yet, which is nice. Like he's someone who doesn't need that much sleep. So he works very well and he's a very clean person. So I kind of lucked out on that. Like
yeah.
the house is clean thanks to him.
That's
if
like
I'm
Josh.
A shambles, yeah, we did
yeah,
good.
Yeah, we did good.
We did good. Because I am an absolute mess. Like, I'm a messy person to live with.
I see those memes of like husband and wife and like what, you know, the wife having to like shut the cupboards or like put the bins away or whatever. And I'm like, fuck,
it's the other way around.
I'm the husband.
Yeah. I'm the exact same. Like all the drawers are left half open.
Yeah.
Like I'm so annoying to live with.
Yeah.
And he's just very patient, I think.
Oh, that's lovely. I'm very happy for you. No, that's awesome. I've been so keen to catch up with you and I'm just so overjoyed that it's going well for you. And
thank you. It is now. We've had our hurdles.
Of course.
Yeah, definitely. Like the feeding, the prolapse, the infection, like we've been through all that, but it's like now I've got the best thing that could ever have come out of it and it's all worth it.
Oh,
for sure.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I missed you.
I missed you. I'm sure the community has too, so they're going to love it.
Oh, I miss you guys.
Thank you for joining, guys. Hope you enjoyed that chat. If you would like more info, you can check out our show notes of the episode. And if you would like to get involved with the Kick Pod, you can find us on Instagram at Kick Pod. Send us a voice note or DM or question there, and we'll be posting all our videos and behind the scenes on that Kick Pod Insta too. So you can show your support by giving us a follow. And if you would like to join a bit of a virtual mothers group, is what we like to call it, we have our Kick Bump Facebook group. So you're all welcome there. There's so much love and support in that group. It's something that I'm very proud to be a part of, and we would love to have you. If you would like to learn more about Kick, you can head to our website, kickapp.com, or you can head to the Apple Store and Google Play Store. And if you'd like to join Kick, we have a 7-day free trial. We will be back in your ears very shortly. Bye.